Welcome to Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health. Every week, we sip on a strong new blend of practical tips, information, and education to help you optimize your health, body, and mind. Your hosts are Janice, Emily, Megan, and Olga. Your break starts now. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health podcast. My name is Olga Hayes.
And I'm Megan Sperling.
And on today's episode, we are going to tackle a very interesting subject. As you know, Megan and I like to get together to talk about very controversial things. So today is not an exception. Today we'll be talking about the size of our bodies, our health, and whether carrying a few extra pounds automatically makes us unhealthy. So Megan, are you ready to dive in?
Oh, I'm ready. and just to kind of just share a little bit of background, the reason Olga and I wanted to talk about this is because we started having this huge discussion. You know, when you get really passionate and are just sort of time goes by so quickly, we found ourselves just having this long discussion about it. And we're realizing, oh, we really should have a podcast episode about this. If we're this kind of fired up about this topic, I am sure other people would be interested in it as well. So Olga, I'm excited to share our, some of our passion with everybody. And I think that the source of the passion is that, you know, we've all been told forever, let's be honest, for so long, but especially in, I would say, the last 60 years or so, which is makes up the majority of most people's lives who are listening to this, that how much you weigh is a predictor of your health, that if you are in a larger body, that you need to lose weight in order to be healthy and have a longer lifespan. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we're going to explore today is how true that is. And what the research and science says and what it doesn't say, and kind of just challenge this long-standing belief that has been kind of pounded into our heads for as long as we've all existed.
Yeah. Wow. Well said, Megan. Really well said. And before we decided to record this, right, you remember we talked about how this is going to be an interesting discussion, and we have to be very transparent in what we're going to be talking today about. And we know that there is research, and we know it's true that carrying extra body weight correlated with some of with the risk of some of the serious diseases, such as heart disease, diabetes, cancer. But as Megan mentioned, there are other factors that are at play, right, Megan?
Well, yeah, and I think that the question, what the kind of research is sort of, what recent research has really been showing is that that correlation between body weight and disease may not be the sort of be-all, end-all compelling correlation that we have always assumed it to be. Yeah. There are a lot of other indicators that are more strongly correlated with your risk of chronic disease, and those include blood pressure, blood sugar, blood fat, inflammation. There are studies to suggest that you can definitely be overweight and still be considered metabolically healthy if those other risk factors are normal. So the question is, well, not a question even, but it's interesting, I guess I should say, that there's been always so much of a historic focus on weight when there are these other risk factors that are very compelling, and if not more well-researched as having influence over our risks of chronic disease.
Exactly. And we'll go over some of that research today. It's just so interesting, as you said, you know, it's so not black and white, and our weight is such a complex issue, and it's so nuanced. And basically what we're going to try and do is to present a broad perspective that allows kind of have a fuller understanding of that complex thinking about health and body weight and kind of untangle those two. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the kind of like step one is to discuss how we define body weight, how we think about weight. And, you know, the number on the scale, I think most people agree with this. The number on the scale does not tell the whole story about your health. I think, you know, that's certainly what we're alluding to. And I think that's what people generally agree with that. And BMI, the body mass index measure, is the measure of body fat based on height and weight. And that's frequently used to screen for obesity and the corresponding health risks that are often tied to obesity. And I wanted to kind of focus on BMI for a moment, because I feel like aside from just pounds, like pounds on a scale, these are the BMI is the thing that most people think about when they think about how to measure weight. Mm-hmm. And the thing about BMI.
And eye roll.
Eye rolling.
People are probably screaming at their headphones right now saying, what? BMI's not good.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I want to offer a little bit of a defense of BMI, because I think the problem is not what the metric is and what this measurement is, but that it's been, I think that it is given, if you'll forgive the pun, too much weight of importance. It is simply one method of assessing where a person is in terms of their body mass. And one of the ways in which it is I think given too much weight of importance is the fact that, and people hear this one a lot, that if you have a certain type of build, perhaps an athletic build, if you are just exceptionally tall and not rail thin, then you might get a result based on the way BMI is categorized by the World Health Organization as being in an area of and having a BMI range that is unhealthy, or you might be considered overweight when it doesn't quite seem like it you should, or maybe you're considered obese when you're maybe somebody who's just extremely athletic and has a lot of muscle. There are certain people from different parts of the world who have different responses to BMI. It really wasn't built to be a universal metric.
Yeah, and yet it's kind of something that's been used mostly, right, in the medical communities and in research to kind of define the healthy weight. So that was the measure.
And that's where it's complicated, because it serves a purpose. And it's not a purpose that is malicious or intentionally vague, but it's what is meant to do is basically serve as a touch point for people in terms of their health. And I think though it shouldn't say in my opinion, but based on the research, where there's pretty much universal scientific consensus that it is not a perfect tool and a perfect metric, that if we are thinking about BMI and thinking about obesity and thinking about overweight and how we define those things, the BMI is probably something that we should have sort of a big old asterisk next to it if we are talking about people's weight, if you're using the BMI as a category, as a way to categorize and define it. So I'm hoping that makes sense. Again, this is a hard conversation. It's not sort of as clear cut as some of our other topics, Olga. Yeah. But I think that's also why it's important too.
Yeah. No, definitely not a clear cut topic, but you know, we like to tackle those topics. It's important to talk about and it's important to discuss. And I just wanted to add to what you mentioned about BMI, how it's not a perfect measurement tool. We also need to remember that, you know, bodies come in all different sizes and types. Yes. And a lot of time, people's body size is not even within their control, right? So there are people who simply, no matter what they do, they won't have a small body. It's just not who they are. Genetics, ethnic background, family history, all of that has an impact on body type. So it's really a very nuanced issue when it comes to weight and what can be considered a healthy weight. And so I guess we just wanted to remind people of that, so that they think about it when they think about their own body types. So that was kind of a caveat or add on to what you were saying. But again, today we wanted to connect on the topic of body weight and our health and how we are so used to the thinking or to the belief that in order to be healthy, we need to lose the weight, right? When a person goes to the hospital, to the doctors, not to pick on anyone, but it's very, very common. You walk into the office and You know, if you weigh a certain amount, the doctor will say, okay, well, go ahead and lose a few pounds. So, again, we want to challenge that a little bit today. And I wanted to ask Megan, the reason why we even started this conversation is because that study we read in the New York Times, right? That article that summarized this study. So that kind of both piqued our interest, and we were like, wow, that's so great. Would you mind going over that study a little bit and summarizing it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I know that Sharp Healthcare, the Sharp's newsroom, also shared this study as well. And I was so glad to see it. So it was originally published in Cell Journal, and I'm just going to kind of share a couple of highlights from this study. It analyzed the results of more than 200 relevant meta-analyses in previous individual studies. Then the researchers set out to see what of all this research involving tens of thousands of men and women, most of them obese, what it indicated about the relative benefits of losing weight or getting fit for improving metabolisms and longevity. In other words, they asked whether someone who is on the heavier side, if they get more health bang for their buck by losing weight or by being active, by exercising. The result of the study found that obese people typically lowered their risk of heart disease and premature death far more by gaining fitness and being active than by dropping weight or dieting.
Wow.
And yeah, right? It's we always think losing weight. That's kind of where everybody starts when it comes to health. Yep. And then it's like, well, what if it's not that as the exclusive starting point?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other things that were really interesting was that, you know, the studies as a whole, they cite that sedentary obese men and women who began to exercise and improve their fitness can lower their risk of premature death by as much as 30% or more, even if their weight doesn't change at all.
Amazing.
The new review was not designed to determine precisely how exercise or weight loss affect longevity in people with obesity, though. But in many of the studies they looked at, the researchers said that people who shed pounds by dieting regained them, then tried again, and then what you get then is a yo-yo approach to weight loss that often contributes to metabolic problems like disease and high cholesterol and lower life expectancy. So the theory is that, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Olga.
Oh, no, I was just like nodding, you know, as you talk. I'm like, yeah, that has been, you know, those decades of everyone kind of bugging people to lose the weight and nagging everyone. And yet, you know, the rates of obesity are still high and kind of remain unchanged. And so because many people are trying that approach, they're losing the weight and gaining it back. And so the odds of long-term success appears to be dismissed or kind of minimal, right? So
yeah,
I just love how that study kind of highlights the fact that, hey, why don't we kind of shift from this weight-centric approach to health management, right? And focus on something that we can actually change, which is our activity level. If we can be a little bit more physically active, then we can really make a huge difference in our overall health and well-being. And I think it's just a nice change in mentality and what we've been taught before. Even in the absence of weight loss, we can still reduce all those risks of those diseases.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And was there anything else about the study? I feel like I interrupted you.
Well, no, I love everything you're saying, and you're kind of recapping what I wanted to get to, which is, I think that the reason that Olga and I got so excited, you and I got so excited about this, and why Olga and I wanted to share it on this podcast was that, as you mentioned, and I think as anybody who's tried to lose weight knows, it is very challenging to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of this discussion is not to discourage people who want to lose weight to do so, but the purpose is to acknowledge the fact that that is a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. From a physiological, biological standpoint, our bodies don't want us to lose weight. We are not engineered to lose weight. Our bodies want to hold on to fat when it gains it.
Yes.
And so if that is the only path forward for improving our longevity and quality of life and risk of chronic disease, that can be really frustrating. And what's exciting about this is there are other things that we can be focusing on aside from weight loss. That's really what this comes down to.
Yes.
That's kind of the last thing I wanted to say about the data. That's kind of what my biggest takeaway from it was.
No, I definitely agree. I think if someone wants to lose the weight, it's great, and weight does matter. It's just not the only thing that matters, right?
Yeah.
And again, if you want to lose a little bit of weight because you want to be healthy again, as Megan said, there is another path to health and longevity. And in addition to Megan's study, the one that she kind of summarized, I came across another one that was conducted by the British Medical Journal, and it was kind of similar to the exercise study that Megan mentioned, but the purpose of that one was to determine how not just one healthy habit like exercise, but how what kind of association there is between five healthy habits and mortality in a population. And the sample of people they used was stratified by body mass index. Mm-hmm. And the five healthy habits that they chose were exercising, then eating five servings of fruits and vegetables a day, consuming alcohol in moderation, and smoking. So basically,
not smoking, I assume.
Not smoking. Yes, yes. Doing all the great things and smoking. Yes.
So. No.
So what they basically found after this study is that, and it wasn't surprising at all, but they found that when you implement health behaviors, your health improves. Like the graph of the study showed that even with one health behaviors that you add, regardless of your weight, your mortality risk decreases and your risk of developing heart disease decreases. And the more health behaviors you add, you can see on that graph how your mortality risk and risk of developing diseases decreases and basically becomes equal to people with lower BMI. So it's like, yeah, the more healthy behaviors you implement, the healthier you are. It's kind of a given, right? We understand that, but when studies and when the research supports that knowledge or that understanding, it's like, wow, yeah, now there is data showing this graph saying the more healthy behaviors you implement, the longer you live, and the quality of life you will be longer as well because you will be less sick, regardless of your BMI. So I thought it was really interesting. It kind of supports what you were saying with exercising, right? But on top of exercising, you can add additional health behaviors. And you are just so much better off health-wise, even without losing the weight. And again, as Megan said, if losing the weight is your goal, that's great if that's what you want to do. But if it's what you're doing to be healthy, that's not the only path forward.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the overarching point. When SharpFest Health began, we really wanted to be really, really emphatic and really embody the idea that Sharp as an employer was never going to tell its employees what the pursuit of health and well-being was for each and every one of them. We were simply going to create tools, resources, access, and opportunities to help people get to what their definition of health was. So like Olga says, like two things can be true at the same time. And it can be true that there are people listening to this who say, well, I still want to lose weight. Like that's my goal. To which I would say, absolutely, pursue that, pursue those resources. But also it can be true, everything that you just said, Olga, if you practice certain health behaviors that are the tried and true, right? We're talking about exercise, we're talking about healthy eating, right. We're talking about avoiding tobacco and consuming little to no alcohol, or I think moderate alcohol was what was said.
Yeah.
You're more likely to have a longer, healthier life. Mm-hmm. And so it comes down to what's your motivation for weight loss. Yeah. And understanding the other options for you. And the good news is, I think for all of us, Olga, and this is a good place to kind of wrap things up, there's a pretty pretty basic approach to what to sort of the takeaway should be, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think that we've thrown a lot of people, but it's a pretty straightforward, really straightforward direction. So I know I've been talking a lot. Do you want to kind of take us through what some of the takeaways should be, and then I can jump in?
Yeah, for sure. So kind of the things that we wanted to leave you with are like five takeaways, right?
Yeah.
The very generic or general formula hasn't really changed for health. So the first thing we encourage everyone to do, regardless of size, is to move your body. We encourage everyone to be a little more physically active and, according to CDC, you know, at least engage in 30 minutes of physical activity or moderate physical activity daily, or 150 minutes of moderate physical activity a week. So when we say moderate, we mean, yeah, you should probably break a sweat and feel your heart rate go up, but still be able to talk. Or you can engage in 75 minutes of vigorous activity, which means, you know, breathing hard, barely able to talk. And those are recommendations from CDC, but I always want to say, hey, anything you do in terms of staying active counts.
Yes.
Taking a little walk, even 10 minutes a day, if it's just, you know, you're just starting out, everything counts. It's better than nothing. So yeah, those are the guidelines. This is something to aim for. However, do what you can. And then build on that, and you will make progress. So incorporate strength training as part of the physical activity aspect is important, as well as we age, especially. We tend to lose muscle mass, and muscle mass is important to keep us strong and functional. So if you can and able, you know, do some strength training exercises with dumbbells or machines or even your own body weight, that's very helpful at least once a week for starters. And then maybe you can build on that and 2-3 days a week of strength training. And then in between your cardio, which is your, you know, cardiovascular activities, walking or swimming or jogging, whatever makes you break the sweat. Don't forget to eat healthy or nutritiously. So this is another aspect of health. And when we say nutritiously, we are looking at mostly plant-based foods, nothing processed, limit sugar consumption if you can, especially added sugars, right? Anything with lean proteins and lots of fiber, that's kind of your recipe for healthy diet. And eating intuitively or eating mindfulnessly is really important when we talk about eating healthy, because it's not just about what we eat, but how we eat it. And being able to eat intuitively is basically just tuning in with your hunger cues, listening to your body, eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, basically going back to your childhood years when you were full, you stopped eating, right? When baby eats, then they eat, then they're not hungry, they stop. So we forgot how to do it. So we eat all the time. So kind of relearning, retraining yourself, really paying attention to your hunger cues and how you feel your fullness cues as well.
If I could just chime in, Olga.
Yes, please.
And maybe I can take on the next two. I just want to acknowledge.
Oh, go ahead.
It's really interesting. You know, when you think about what the recommendations are, what are sort of the best practices, regardless of what your health goals are, they always, so much of it does come back to moving your body.
Six, right?
Yeah, taking care of it, nourishing your body, like eat good things, not too much. And, you know, the other, it's just, I always think about the difference between simple and easy. I acknowledge it's definitely not always easy for people to be active and eat healthy, but it is simple. And it's more simple than we like to sometimes make it. And, you know, there's a lot of external forces trying to prevent this from being simple, so that we'll buy more books and subscribe to more blogs and you know, join more programs. But I wanted to sort of, I just felt compelled to chime in and acknowledge that and say that, you know, the other recommendation, managing stress, such a broad term for such a complicated thing, but truly is one of the biggest drivers of our physical and mental health. And it's an incredibly important thing to take seriously and prioritize if you can. And the good news is generally being well in one area begets wellness in another. So, you know, if you're more active, you're more likely to have improved levels of stress because that's been a proven stress management technique. And I would say vice versa. But, you know, the only other thing I wanted to mention beyond adding stress to eating nutritiously and strength training is I really want to invite people to, you know, examine your own kind of perspective when it comes to weight mm-hmm. and whether you tend to think of excess weight as being synonymous with being less healthy. There's a lot of, again, talking about external forces, there's a lot of external forces that invite us and encourage us and want us to have that opinion. And I think it's important to approach this sort of idea with open-mindedness and kind of revisiting what your thoughts might be on this particular subject. No matter where you are on it, and embrace the fact that we can't look at people and know if they are healthy or not. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to encourage people who might be, you know, a part of that yo-yo dieting community who maybe have been frustrated at how challenging it can be to lose weight to, please be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
And consider that, you know, this may not be the be all end all for having a, you know, a happier, healthier, longer life. If you aren't currently trying to lose weight, just stay mindful of whether you are consciously or unconsciously judging and whether you can reset your thought process on this even just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, well said, Megan. Really love this last thing that you said. Well, everything else you said was great too. It's, again, we are, you know, we're almost done for today. And again, it's such a delicate subject, right? But we hope we approached it with openness and respect and offered some interesting and helpful information for folks out there to consider. And kind of, you know, to finish or kind of recap, it's if you are someone who is looking at losing a few pounds to get healthier, it may not be the only way. There are other ways you can do to go about that in a more stable and sustainable way and still decrease your risks of different diseases. And you can do it simply by adding healthy habits into your life. And those are the habits that are nothing new, right? Nothing is here that we've never heard about. So eating healthy, moving joyfully, I wanted to mention that, you know, joyful movement is when we talk about exercising just makes me, you know, kind of like, I hate it. Exercise is hard. But we're talking about moving your body with in a way that gives you joy and that makes you active. And that's already a great thing. Just like doing things that you enjoy doing that keep your heart rate up. So, all of those things are simple. Not easy, maybe always, but they are simple and they can help you be healthy even at your current weight and maybe being as healthy as you can be at your current size down the road, maybe a bridge to being healthier at a healthier size in the future if that's something you want. So we thank everyone for listening, for tuning in today. And as Megan mentioned, we welcome any comments and any thoughts on that subject. If you're interested, please share. We're always listening. You can email us at sharpbesthealth@sharp.com. Right? That's the only way to reach us, I guess. I was going to say you can post comments in the show notes, but then we're like, no, you can't.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you can.
Someday.
Yeah. Megan, do you have anything to finish?
No, I think that they've heard enough from me. I hope this conversation is helpful. I hope you all go and read the wonderful research that has been recently posted by the New York Times recently yourself. And just thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah. We'll link both studies that we referenced today. We will link them in the show notes. Yeah. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to recording another episode for you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Download this episode and find more great information on health and wellness by visiting Sharp Best Health on Sharpnet.com.